The most important thing that seems to be going on is that people are very anxious regarding the elections, upcoming elections. In about 2 weeks, they have to provide a list of recommendations that they have municipalities for various seats at the level of county or mayoral candidates. So the list, as they call them here, the list of candidates for various political positions, they need to submit that. There's a deadline 2 weeks out, 2 weeks from now. And so people are really anxious about understanding who, what, how, what's the strategy, what's the plan, where's the money. And we are basically telling them that they really should stop waiting for some command or directions from the central governing body of presidency, but they should exercise judgment and their own creativity and figure out what the local issues are and what candidates they might find. We provided the process for selecting the candidates. We provided what we thought was the overall idea for approaching the elections. But the predominant way of thinking in Bosnia is that somebody from above would tell people what to do. And we are trying to convey the message that the platform is very different. And what we're trying to do is empower them to think creatively about local conditions. And we set principles that we stand for, but they should derive their actions based on those principles. And we will provide help with analytics, access to experts who can provide opinions on topics. We can provide the feedback. We can put them in touch with each other. We can organize meetings, but we cannot really, we don't want to tell them what they should go, what their agenda, election agenda will be, what is it that they want to promote. Yesterday, there was a meeting that I organized with boards of three municipalities that are part of what is called a city of Sarajevo. There are four such municipalities. One is the old town, then the center, the new Sarajevo, and the new town or new city. And so it reflects how Sarajevo grew out of the center, the core that now is called the old town. Mm-hmm. And so I am where my condo is. I am in the municipality that is called the center. And so we were meeting with them and the neighboring municipalities, New Town and New Sarajevo. So it was all about things that they might have in common in terms of needs, abilities, to address. And it was interesting, very early on, the issue of the quality of air, poor quality of air, that was important to all of them. The illegal construction or unplanned construction, or construction that is not according to the established zoning plans and what do they call it? It's not an urban construction, but something like that. Urban plan, urbanistic plan, urban plan of urban development. So people simply, either sometimes on the public property, just put a building up, house, or sometimes on their own property, put a house that it's not according to the code, or they don't have permit for it. And so that it's rampant. It started in all in the old Yugoslavia and then continued to this day, which is really interesting. And so those are just some of the examples that they were talking about, the things that talking about in the context of things that need to be fixed. Also things like e-city, e-government, ability to do business with the city or municipalities or receive services via digital means like website or whatever, as opposed to going there in person, waiting in line and really depending on the goodwill of clerks to get what they need to get done. And that is often a reason for or another opportunity for corruptive processes. So anyway, we talked about those plans, and in addition to the three boards of the boards of the three municipalities, we had in presence the board of the regional board that oversees not only Sarajevo but many other cities in the central Bosnia. Our region that we call Bosna or Bosnia, which is one of the rivers in central Bosnia, and we call our regions according to the rivers, major rivers in Bosnia and Herzegovina. So that is the sentiment that is everywhere. People are just trying to meet with the central with me or the members of the presidency or presidential board or governing board of Platform for Progress, because they believe that's the body that should make all the decisions. And they are saying, no, please go ahead and act locally. But we're also encouraging regional boards that are overseeing a certain number of municipalities for them to start acting responsibly when it comes to that region, and they should be the voice of the Platform for Progress in that region, not me or the governing body of Platform for Progress. That is something we are learning, to activate that middle layer, that they should take responsibility for everything that is happening within that region, including preparations for elections. At that meeting, we also had present our political advisory council, because they are tasked with getting information from municipality governing boards, generalizing that information and then distributing that as best practices where appropriate to other municipalities to help them think about local issues. And after that, we had a meeting of the Political Advisory Council itself to talk a little bit about the session that just ended prior to that meeting. And also we discussed the needs or possibilities of other press releases on any of the issues, political issues in Bosnia. Now, this is all happening, so nothing much. I just arrived. I arrived Tuesday, and today is Thursday, so not much happened other than all these meetings. But something else big happened. Of course, the big news here as well is coronavirus, and today my daughter arrived for a 10-day visit because she was invited to do some surgeries here in Bosnia-Herzegovina and cities of Sarajevo and Tuzla. And then she and my wife and I, after the airport where we picked up our daughter, we went downtown for her to have lunch and then for her to get the phone fixed so she can make calls in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And when we got to the clerk, who was trying to help her, he was coughing. And then you immediately, I mean, there is one report of a case in Bosnia and Herzegovina and Sarajevo that was announced yesterday. And you start immediately thinking about, oh, is this coronavirus? I mean, this person is meeting a lot of people. Nobody else seemed concerned, but I was looking at him and thought, wait a second. They should at least make, just for security reasons, they should have asked the gentleman to wear a mask or not to come to work or whatever, because people are very sensitive to that. So one thing that's happening, this is all in the context of coronavirus that is present, and it seems, in the whole world. And the other one is that Turkey just decided to open the floodgates and let million plus refugees who are housed in Turkey, in various parts of Turkey, to open the floodgates, the borders, so that they can actually really go to Europe, where they really want to go, primarily Germany, but in some other cities, countries around Germany. Everybody's here is expecting that huge chunk of that will come through Bosnia and Herzegovina, because it's the shortest path to Germany. It's on the path to Germany. And Bosnia and Herzegovina, as I have mentioned so many times, is a dysfunctional country, a country that cannot protect its borders right now. On the east, that's where there's Republika Srpska within Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Serbia on the other side. They're really trying to behave as if there should be no border between them, and therefore they are not even, they don't care that Serbia is happy to move any refugees away from Serbia, put them in Bosnia and Herzegovina. That's the easiest target, simply because we don't have enough guards and often, or border patrol members, and often people in Republika Srpska would not even allow, probably, or discouraged anything that resembles the state, the country of Bosnia and Herzegovina, to have presence there. So we simply don't have enough people to protect the borders. And on the other hand, people from Republika Srpska just pushed them to the Federacija part, the other part of entity of Bosnia. People come to entity of Bosnia called Federacija, where it's mostly Bosniak and Croat. They end up going toward Croatia because they would like to, from Croatia, they go to Austria and then Germany. Croatian police stops them brutally often. And so they all end up in Bosnia, Herzegovina, the country that's dysfunctional to begin with, and now facing this flood of potential refugees. Everybody's really, really concerned now. So we have unstable political situation, unstable situation regarding refugees, unstable situation regarding virus, the virus and health catastrophe potential. It's amazing that it's like a perfect storm. Everything's happening at the same time, and the country needs to figure out the way out, and politicians inside are not really helping at all. Today we have a meeting of presidential governing board, a platform for progress, which is the continuation of the last week's meeting. And every week we meet from 9 p.m. until 11 p.m. and discuss as much as we can. So, interesting and trying times, all of it happening while we are preparing ourselves for the elections in October, local elections in October. And we are also trying to build our infrastructure in the country. Interesting. We are trying to find the finances to finance it all. Such is life.
What I was going to ask, in terms of the current situation with the refugees and everything that you've spoken about, is this yet another opportunity for the platform to take stands on some of these issues to at least get information out there to this, I don't know if crisis is the right word, but what is happening, what needs to be done to kind of help ease the situation a bit?
Well, it is an opportunity and it isn't. It is because it is a tough situation, and everybody who has any decent ideas, at least decent ideas, as to how to handle this situation should offer those solutions to the general public. And we would certainly love to. Why it isn't a good suggestion is that I suspect that a lot of Bosnian people who are very cynical in nature, quick to judge, quick to criticize, would probably say, oh, look at those people. They are criticizing something, somebody. They are offering solutions, but they are not responsible for anything. No, they are not in power. And it is just a populistic approach by saying this is what should be done, even though they are not part of the solution, cannot be, because they are not in the government. So I think that would be, that we would open ourselves to an attack that's in some ways justified, and you can offer as much help as you want to, but people will perceive it as a political game no matter what. So we have to be sensitive to the nature of the people who are first critical and then helpful when it comes to Bosnians and Herzegovinians. Of course, those refugees need help. There are a lot of them who are coming from a tough situation where there's a lot of infighting or fighting, there's a war going on. They are probably, many of them, left with no ability to defend or clothe themselves, but they are simply trying to escape and find a better place. But it's the same, so we need to be sensitive to their needs, try to be helpful, because Bosnians have been refugees at one point during this last war. By the same time, people are alarmed, because what we've seen thus far are mostly people in 20s and 30s, and used to be Syria at the beginning, but now it's from Bangladesh and Pakistan and various countries in the world that are not doing really well financially. It's not Syrians anymore, at least not to that extent. And we don't know what's coming from Turkey. Are those families or younger people? And is it economic? Is it what kind of a tough situation actually made them do this? And of course, there's a difference. Some of them are escaping the war. Some of them are escaping atrocities, and often families and so on. But what we are seeing, for the most part, there are many young people, young males, who are trying to get into the West. So you have to assume that some of them are at least economic in nature. So how do you respond? You want to be sensitive to the needs of refugees. On the other hand, you don't want to destabilize the countries that cannot bear the burden. And Bosnia and Herzegovina is certainly one of those. So why are we, is this an opportunity for us? Yes, to offer solutions. As I said, no, because people misinterpret our actions as populistic in nature, and they would not probably even take it lightly when it comes to elections. So at this point, we've decided not to really criticize anybody, because it's easy to criticize if you're not in power to do anything else. So if we do anything, any kind of suggestions or recommendations, it would be without any hint of critique, and we would simply offer things in case somebody finds them useful. but it is a tough situation.
And that's what I was, and you've touched on it some, but just, I guess, short-term and long-term, because of this mass influx of refugees, what does it mean for the country of Bosnia and Herzegovina to have this happening all at once? I mean, what are the ramifications of this?
Ramifications of all of these things happening at the same time?
Well, just the refugees in general coming in, but everything happening at the same time, too. It sounds like there's a lot going on.
That is true, and this the minister or the secretary of, well, I don't know if there's a secretary of safety, security, whatever you, I don't know what the appropriate translation would be in English. He's in the news, it has been in the news for a while, for the last 3 days, constantly. And I know there is an unscheduled and urgent meeting of the Council of Ministers that will discuss the issue of refugees, and there will be a special report of this one particular minister in terms of how to get ready and what to do when those with this new wave of refugees hits the Bosnian borders. I'm not sure that there is a great wisdom here. I know at some point that they are basically relying on the Serbian police, that they will defend the Serbian borders and therefore would not allow them to come to Bosnia through Serbia. But you cannot really rely on others to do your bidding. We have to be prepared as a country. I'm suspecting that a lot of refugees will come into Bosnia and get stuck there. And normally what happens is that the leadership of the country often just asks for money from European Union to come up with some makeshift housing and accommodations for those refugees, but that's never a long-term solution. And so we are really, I'm really concerned, because we don't have politicians who care about the country, for the most part. The country is dysfunctional, cannot protect its borders, refugees are coming. Its healthcare system is strained and underserved. There's not enough money going in, and we have the health crisis coming toward us. Citizens are concerned more, a lot more than the politicians are, who are continuing their bizarre behavior in the parliament, in the presidential council, and bickering over anything and everything. I mean, yes, they are now forming governments at various levels, an entity of Federatia, the government, the country itself, Canton Sarajevo. And you know what, because of this concept of constituent or constitutive peoples, where you have to have an equal representation of each, from each tribe, as I call them, people have to have certain number of Bosnia, Croats, Serbs represented in the parliament. And bizarre things are happening. For example, today there was in the news a situation where, in order to fulfill that requirement, some of the Infederatia, this larger entity, some politicians declare them, who are, let's say, Bosniaks, have to declare themselves to be Serbs or Croats, or the other way around, just to be able to form the government. And there was a case of yesterday of a person who switched twice in 15 minutes, first claiming to be a Serb, then claiming to be a Croat. And you know, that is the funny thing. This whole constitution is based on this unholy concept of constituent peoples instead of citizens. And then it forces everybody to have that everywhere, in every document, in every policy. And then suddenly when you have that, people are playing games with it, because how do you prove that you are one or the other? Well, simply because they say they are so. So, I mean, that is that even the biggest joke of all. Once you give certain people the rights to block everything and everything, anything, and then people can declare themselves to be one or second or third, one tribe or belonging, one ethnic group, second or third. It's ridiculous. But anyway, it is really ridiculous. And you know what also happened was that recently came out a tape, somebody recorded secretly a conversation among party officials of the largest party who had their own selection for the leadership in the canton, Sarajevo. And it was obvious that some politicians are buying votes against their own members of their own party, buying votes. And when it all came out in the public, there was a huge outrage. And then what happened was that the head of that party first said, well, listen, we have bigger problems than this, but let's just calm down and let's leave the courts to do what they need to do and investigators do their own part. Forgetting to mention that the judges are theirs and investigators are theirs. And then when the person who was the main perpetrator had to resign from all the positions within the party, didn't resign as a member of the parliament, but resigned on positions within the party, even that shocked the country, because people never do it. They just ignore things like this. At least somebody had a decency and actually resigned. You know what happened next? The same person of whom the head of the party said, you know, that person who made that tape public disgraced the party. I mean, come on. He's now the bad guy because he brought shame to the party, forgetting to mention that this is a behavior that shouldn't be tolerated anywhere, not in his party, not anywhere. So it's a country of bizarre things, more and more bizarre every day. It should change the name to Bizarre Land. It's amazing.
Well, to go back to your initial, where you're talking that there's a couple of weeks before the preliminary lists of potential candidates and mayorships, town halls, those types of things, is coming up. Is there any concern that it is only 2 weeks away and there are some, as you mentioned, have been waiting for directive that need to kind of get on the ball to get the list together?
There are a lot of concerns. Some people are really, and I'm sure that there will be some who will basically say, we cannot do it in 2 weeks, we need two more weeks, which will cause the trouble on the back end because everything is timed very tightly. But we are just telling them that they need to do it in that time period, and if they don't have anybody. And you know, it simply means that they didn't get organized in time. They got enough warning. But they were waiting for something, and then now suddenly they want to push the system back. No, they don't have candidates, that is fine. Not everybody will have to have a candidate, but it is going to be tough, but it's part of the learning process.